God accomplishes great things. No surprise there, right? What may be surprising, however, is how he accomplishes great things and what things are truly great. We need look no further than our readings for today to see the great things that God does through his word. In our gospel reading from Luke, we see the word made flesh, Jesus Christ, by his word cast out a demon, heal Simon's mother-in-law from a fever, and many who were, as Luke said, were sick with various diseases. In our Old Testament lesson from Jeremiah, God's word calls a mere youth, Jeremiah, and enables him to destroy, to overthrow, to build and plant nations and kingdoms. But according to our New Testament reading from 1 Corinthians, a far greater thing than planting nations is to love. Paul says even speaking God's words without love is nothing. In light of all this, preaching the word may not look so great. But getting back to the gospel for a moment, that's why Jesus came. This morning, we focus on the great things God did through his prophet Jeremiah.
Jeremiah was a bullfrog, was a good friend of mine.
Wrong, Jeremiah. You can thank Jerry Johnson for planting that seed in my mind. She'll explain it to you. When we think of Jeremiah, we tend to picture a very old man, one who was perhaps worn down by the cares of life and the heavy burden that he carried as a prophet of God. We need to think about him a little bit differently, though, for this morning, to try to picture him as a much younger man. In fact, in his society, he was still considered a youth, too young to be of any importance or even worth listening to. This is the Jeremiah presented in our Old Testament reading. Though we know more about Jeremiah's life than almost any other of the prophets, his childhood and his youth are reduced to one sentence in our reading for today. The word of the Lord came to me. Other than this event, everything else kind of fades into the background. From this point forward, his life will be penetrated and permeated by the divine word. For better or for worse, humanly speaking, he will never be the same. Again, Scripture doesn't tell us much about his early life. We know that his father, Hilkiah, was one of the priests who were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, as the book opens. We know he was born a couple of decades before the fall of Jerusalem in 586 BC. And that's about it. Instead of a biography, we know one thing. As I said, now the word of the Lord came to me. You have an outline this morning. I invite you to prepare to follow along with that. The word of the Lord came to me. That's it. That's what we need to know about him. The word of the Lord came to him. It was the single most important event in his entire life. More important than his family history, more important than his education, even more important than who his friends and acquaintances were. For better, or as it sometimes feels, for worse, the word of the Lord forms and shapes us for our callings in this world and for the life of the world to come. The word of the Lord has that effect on people. It is not dead or lifeless, but living, active, and mighty. It creates and shapes and transforms. In the beginning, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The angel Gabriel told Mary that she would conceive and have a son, and she did. God's word can do anything in an instant, even impossible things. But God's word can also be like a seed. It can take time. It can work over time. It's planted. It germinates. It sprouts. Then it grows and blossoms and bears fruit. To sit and watch the grass grow is also to see his word at work. For God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation," and it did, and it still does today. Even when the growth is so slow that it can hardly be seen, even if we begin to wonder whether anything is actually happening, God's word is powerful and effective in nature and in us. Just ask our friend Jeremiah. The word of the Lord happened to him. And now that he was, not that he was looking for it, he didn't wake up one morning and think, hey, I'll be a prophet. No, God's word took him by surprise and led him in directions that he didn't expect or plan. He wasn't entirely convinced that being a prophet was right for him. And he wasn't always very happy about it. There were times when his work felt far less rewarding and fruitful than what you do each day. So this living, active, powerful word came to Jeremiah. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Isn't that just like God? He knows people and he fashions them and sets them apart for his purposes. They're his vessels, earthen ones, jars of clay, creatures of dust, certainly, but also chosen and loved by him. Jeremiah wasn't picked because he was a great speaker or because he had a charismatic personality. Instead, he was a living example of what St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians. It wasn't entirely by grace, or rather, it was entirely by grace. God isn't ashamed of human flesh. God isn't scared off by sin or by weakness. So God called Jeremiah and appointed him to be a prophet to the nations. God fills Jeremiah's mouth with his powerful, living, active word. Then the Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. This word, God says, will be over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. And Jeremiah said, you've got the wrong guy. I'm just a youth, a child, really. I think you're looking for the guy next door. But God said, oh, just wait and see. Just wait and see what I'll do with a youth, with my word in a human mouth, with the body and the life I created. I mean you. I'm sending you to speak my word, to preach repentance to my people, to call them back from idolatry and from sin. The gracious and merciful Lord sends Jeremiah to call sinners to repentance and to bring them comfort and delight in him. But he didn't make Jeremiah's life easy. He was sent to proclaim judgment. He was sent to tell the people that Jerusalem would be destroyed. He told them that the temple would be torn down. He told them that their king would be taken away. Yet after all that, God would restore those who were lost and condemned. Jeremiah was also sent to deliver a promise. God would again build up his people and make them new by forgiving their sins. He would plant the righteous branch, Jesus, in their midst. Yet Jeremiah's calling would often feel like a burden. He would actually suffer for it. He was beaten and placed in stocks. He was imprisoned. He was thrown into a cistern, and he was carried off into Egypt. He would moan and complain about it at great length, even lamenting the day he was born. Even so, God equipped Jeremiah for his work and was working through him. But Jeremiah wasn't sent out alone in all this. He was given a promise. God said, I am with you to deliver you. He tells Jeremiah, even though you suffer for the sake of my name and my word and for doing what is right, even though the work is hard and you can't see the fruit of your labor, I am with you to deliver you. That word was life for Jeremiah. The word would deliver him, and he would do it with the word made flesh. In the fullness of time, Jesus came. His word possessed authority to drive out demons and fight back death, as we saw in today's gospel reading. He too would be rejected and condemned and crucified. On the cross, God's word appeared to be powerless, lifeless, and ineffective. But on that third day, Jesus was delivered and raised up from But as the living word. He is the deliverance even from death of those who trust in him. And in him the word bears fruit for eternity. Now the word of the Lord has come to you. The Lord who knew and loved Jeremiah from the womb as also known, and despite what the state of New York has to say about life, loved you from the womb. Though you aren't called to be a prophet, you are called to be a baptized child of God, and called, you are called to live in faith toward him and in fervent love toward others. He has chosen and consecrated you to be his person wherever you are, in your home, in your office, in your school, or your neighborhood, for the sake of your son or daughter, your sister or brother, your niece or nephew, your neighbor. This is not because of any merit or worthiness in you, but because of his own grace and mercy in Jesus Christ. For Jesus' sake, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. But we want to protest like Jeremiah. You can't possibly mean me. You don't know my past. You don't know my background. You don't know my sad and sorry history. What good can I do? But listen. Listen. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's about his word. By his word, he intends to make something of you, even you. He intends to fashion you into his vessel, holy and pure. By his word, he intends to use you for his good purposes here. You may wonder how this can be, but the Lord simply says, let it be, and it is. The word of God comes and takes your life, your past, your childhood, your youth, your weaknesses, your sins, and your sicknesses. He takes them into himself and nails them to his cross, buries them in his grave, and then rises and says, now watch what I can do. He makes all things new, and he is the word in the water that has already made a new you. That's not all. He gives you the same promise that he gave to Jeremiah. I am with you to deliver you. You don't labor alone. You don't live alone. You don't work alone. What Jesus said to the entire church was spoken for you. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And he keeps that promise in every absolution. I am with you. Your sins are forgiven. Keeps that promise in every holy communion. I am with you. Life and salvation are my body and blood. The word touches your ears, as we talked about last week, how that happens literally in our ears. It touches your mouth. It penetrates your body. He takes you, he cleanses you, and makes you holy, set apart for service in this world. He strengthens your faith in God and your love for your neighbor. So your life, like Jeremiah's, has been marked by the word of the Lord and present and his promise and the promise of his presence. His word is at work in and through you, and it's not finished with you yet. This is only the beginning. I don't care how old or how young you are. This is only the beginning. The seed that was planted here will blossom and bear its fruit in due season. You won't believe what the word of the Lord can do. It makes something out of nothing. It makes a prophet out of Jeremiah. It makes a saint out of a sinner. He takes what is small and despised and makes it of infinite value with his blood. His word plants for eternity and builds a heavenly city, and even raises the dead. His word will deliver you and keep you safe. So we pray with Martin Luther, as he wrote in his small catechism, that when our last hour comes, he would give us a blessed end and graciously take us from this valley of sorrow to himself in heaven. And when the last day does come, we believe that he will raise us too, and Jeremiah, to life eternal. Jeremiah thought he couldn't speak well enough. He thought his age disqualified him. He thought there was no way the Lord really wanted him or could use him, but how wrong he was. From Scripture, from the lives of the saints who lived before him, he didn't need to have that thought, and he certainly didn't need to talk God into something else. Remember Moses? He already tried that, and it didn't work. Who am I? Moses said, that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. And God said, it's not about you. I'll do it. But what if they ask who sent me? And God said, just tell them, I am has sent me to you. But they won't believe me or listen to my voice. And God said, watch what I can do. But I'm not eloquent. I'm slow of speech and of tongue. And God said, enough already. Who made your mouth? Isn't it I, the Lord? O Moses, O Jeremiah. So before you tell God what he can't do through you, just remember what he's already done and through whom. The word that began this good work in Jeremiah has begun it in also in you, and will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.